Communications Subcommittee will come to order. Might explain for our audience what the agenda is for today and how I intend to proceed. We have on the agenda House Bill 3072, which will be our first hearing item. Then we have a public hearing and possible work session, which will really be more of a work session, on House Bill 2663, which is the Lifeline Telephone Service Bill, and House Bill 3162, which is the provision of telecommunication devices for the deaf. Now, for those of you who are here with an interest on 3162, members of this subcommittee heard at the full Energy and Environment Committee hearing, we were all there and heard that testimony. Because we have limited time, I would suggest this. We want to go into work session to go over the Lifeline bill, which could, may or may not include 3162. I want to assure you all that this subcommittee will make every effort to either pass 3162 as a separate bill or to include it as part of the Lifeline legislation. Because of our time, I would encourage this. If anyone here feels they have something to add to the testimony that was presented the other night, please feel free to do so. We will allow that. If there are amendments, then I would ask at the proper time, ask people to come forward with amendments. But if we can avoid unnecessary repetition of what testimony we heard the other night, that would be appreciative, because our time, we lose one member at 5 o'clock, and we have a great deal of work to do on the Lifeline bill. But I want to assure you that even though we don't have much time and may not be able to hear everybody who wants to say something about this bill, I want to assure you that every effort is being made to pass either as a separate bill or as part of the Lifeline bill the provisions that people testified for on 3162 the other evening, and we will try and do that. I'd like to open up the public hearing on House Bill 3072. At this point, I have only one person signed up, which is Ray Gribling from Pacific Northwest Bell. After that, I'll ask if anybody else wants to add anything.
Excuse me, I have a request.
Yes.
I need somebody to hide because I can't fall down.
I don't know if we can find someone who can type. I suppose we could check with our pool, our committee assistant pool, and see if there is anyone. But I'm not sure we have anybody available right now who can type. I'll have the committee assistant check and see if there was someone in the committee administrators or committee assistants pool who could come up and type. I would like to, because of our time, proceed until that point, however. Yeah, we do have written minutes of the meetings. We will have minutes of the meetings. We will have a record of the meeting. What is the purpose of having someone type over here? If you'd like to, fine.
Sarah?
Thank you.
Yeah, Mr. Gribbin, why don't you proceed?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the subcommittee. For the record, my name is Ray Gribbling. I'm the Director of Public Affairs for Pacific Northwest Bell and Orange. House Bill 3072 is not a new idea. There have been discussions for some years now over the idea of establishing a separate chapter in the ORS to deal with Public Utility Commission regulations of telecommunications public utilities. As a matter of fact, the OITA also had a bill drafted to accomplish the same thing this session. The reason is simple. Telecommunications public utilities have always been somewhat different than transportation, energy, and water utilities. But with the efforts by the federal government to deregulate certain segments of the telecommunications business, and with the competition resulting therefrom, our industry is becoming more different every day. There are also innovations and changes occurring in other utility industries which are making them ever less similar to us. Therefore, it seems logical to establish different sets of statutes dealing with the regulation of different industries. That way, future legislative activity aimed at one industry will not inadvertently affect another. Energy utilities will not have to be concerned with legislation dealing with telecommunications utilities and vice versa. And frankly, Mr. Chairman, we anticipate more, not less, legislative activity in the future in our industry, at least over the next few years. House Bill 3072 was drafted in good faith to accomplish one thing, and one thing only, that is to establish the separate chapter of ORS which would deal only with regulation of telecommunication utilities. Our instructions to the original drafter was to bring the language across from existing statutes, word for word, into the new statute. Any substantive issues were to be dealt with in separate bills. The drafter suggested that an appropriate change might be to drop the word public from telecommunications public utility, which we agreed was more appropriate since we are really privately, not publicly owned utilities. It is apparent after a thorough review of the bill by both UC staff and our staff that there are some drafting errors in the bill. We are working now to correct those errors. And I'd like to submit at this time a list of proposed amendments based on what was found by both staffs which should correct those errors. The PUC staff certainly deserves special credit on their own and our own personal thanks for the job they did in reviewing the bill for errors. It's a big bill, it was a big job, and they did it in record time. I would like to state once again, Mr. Chairman and members of the subcommittee, the intent of this bill is logical and it's good business. There is no hidden agenda. We encourage your swift action on the bill, and we stand ready to assist you in any way you see fit. Now, Mr. Chairman, with your permission, the other day I did go to a legislative council with the amendments. There were about 47 where a comma was dropped or a semicolon was missing, and should have been an or, and in several instances where it said that utilities, it did not say telecommunication utilities. There were several instances where we left the public utility districts out of it that were in the statute. They had to be brought across. The drafter apparently felt that public utility districts were not affected, and they were. This is on the attachment language that is in the statute, and that is all we have done. The PUC staff had indicated that we had missed amending 38 other statutes. And indeed we did. We were interested in just moving the language across from 756, 757, those things that pertain to the regulation of our business, but yet we, the others that we missed were, as an example, there is a statute that exempts certain vehicles as far as warning lights on the top. That exemption deals with public utilities working in the right-of-way for emergency services. So we had to make sure the telecommunications utilities were mentioned in that statute, and we have done that, and I will provide this to committee staff. I also have a list of those statutes, the definition of those statutes as we change them, just to bring them into conformance. I have the list of, this may be Abby Carroll. In line so-and-so, et cetera, et cetera. I'll be happy to answer any questions.
Representative Green.
I can emphasize, Mr. Gribbling, I think no matter how many you find today, a year from now, we'll be finding a few more.
Murphy's Law.
Murphy's Law. Is there anybody opposed to your bill?
Not to my knowledge.
Thank you.
Except maybe legislative council.
Any further questions? Ray, I'd like to ask. I think it's important as we look at this and try and justify it. My question is, why? And you answered it in somewhat general terms. Are there some specific examples you can give where common language has created problems, or the other way around, where trying to do something with telephones, the statutes related to telecommunications, that you run up against language problems because you're also dealing with electric utilities, for example?
Immediately, one comes to my mind, Mr. Chairman, and that was a bill that the committee had yesterday, 2145. I guess if I went back to the drawing board, I could give you other examples, but it has happened in the past. If you care to check with the energy utility, they recognize that many times we are trying to move some legislation. That, as an example, today I testified in the Judiciary Committee on the triple damage statute. While it affects all public utilities, no one else has been affected like we have on troubled animals language. And we just like to change some of the standards, that's all. And in these areas, if the energy providers have no brief with what is happening to us, then they certainly shouldn't be hauled in under the same legislation as is being proposed. Pure and simple.
Another question. If there are times when legislation is intended or will affect the utilities and the telephone companies uniformly, does that mean that that will have to be written twice, or is this constructed in a way that maintains some sections that apply to all regulated utilities and phone companies?
Well, Mr. Chairman, I'm sure that the Legislative Council will make sure that if that were to apply to energy and telecommunications, that would be in the bill, that the language herein also applies to Chapter 759 dealing with telecommunications at such and such a citation. We do it frequently today.
Well, and are there general statutes that are left that apply to both?
Yes. That's
yeah.
Let's
it'd be important for us, as if we go into work session on this, I think, to go through some of those, unless the committee members want to go through all of that at this point in time or start doing that. But I think that's an important thing for us to note, that there are general statutes that are left that do apply to both.
Mr. Chairman, I would agree that someone perhaps without my bias would like to look at them. But I can tell you that it is the most boring reading in the whole world, such as discharging a weapon across the highway at a public utility sign. And we have also added a telecommunications utility sign.
Is that a surrender?
Yes, it is.
Oh, okay.
Well, I think I don't know if is there anyone here from the Public Utility Commission at this point that wants to comment on this? Okay. We have had the Public Utility Commission is reviewing this. Other interested Legislative Council has been reviewing this. And I would hope that when that review is done, we can have something that everybody agrees upon is objective, that makes no substantive changes in existing law. And then upon that basis, we just have to answer the question, do we want to separate them? Is there reason to? And I would hope that by the next time we have a hearing on this, we could have some determination that of that effect. And probably will, for anyone from the commission staff is here, the subcommittee will be asking the commission's office for an evaluation of whether or not there are any substantive changes or any changes that amendments that they have found that we may have missed. If the commission doesn't wish to take a position on whether it ought to be separated or not, that's fine, but I would ask them to come before us the next time and let us know whether or not our criteria of it being a strict objective separation without any substantive changes has been met. Thank you. Any questions from the subcommittee members?
Mr. Chairman, I would hope that someone would make a recommendation as to the correctness of this, because I'm certainly not going to read it.
I'm not either.
I'll read it.
Our former legislative staff and attorney over here has volunteered.
I get off of that stuff.
Is there anyone else who'd like to comment on this bill? Maury Askett from Independent Telephone Association.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, my name is Maury Askett. I'm the Executive Vice President of the Oregon Independent Telephone Association. As you know, we support this bill and drafted a similar version, which was not quite as complex or complete as the Pacific Northwest bill, and therefore we have decided to support the bill that they have proposed with the amendments. I have talked with PUC staff, I'm familiar with the people that are reviewing it, and therefore I'm going to wait for that review, but my feeling is that bill will be in a form which does exactly what we talked about, simply separates the two. You asked the question, what reasons or what instances have we seen where this would be a good thing to do, or why was there a problem for us in the past? And I think that we have found each legislative session there continues to be more legislation which is directed at one side of the utility industry, but which does not specify that that is the only industry to be affected. This session alone, we have four or five different bills. You're aware of 2144 and 2145. There's some sense that those may apply to us, even though they're aimed at the energy utilities. There's also a bill that has to do with metered service and limitation on the price that can be charged for inspecting metered devices, which is apparently aimed at the energy utilities, but because the telephone companies offer metered service also, we're not sure if it could be interpreted to be subject to our own metering devices. A couple of things that have happened in the past of some importance that indicate the need for this is House Bill 2200. It was a statute directly aimed at the telecommunications industry. It really carved out a separate section that dealt with us, and I think it's pretty clear that those sections of the statute don't apply to the energy utilities. Because of this continuing effort to do things and treat our businesses different, we think it's logical that we should separate ourselves, and so if people intend to have a particular piece of legislation apply to both industries, they would specifically say that both types of industries would be affected. One last example of an issue that came up in the past is one that you're probably all familiar with, the construction work in progress, where there was a considerable amount of effort made, including a ballot measure, to stop the utilities from putting construction work in progress in their rate base. We researched that, and a couple of sessions ago tried to exempt telephone companies because the history of that whole effort was aimed at the energy companies, who have very expensive construction which lasts a fairly long period of time. Comparatively speaking, our industry's construction costs are somewhat less and over a shorter period, and we don't believe that the construction work in progress was really aimed at the telecommunications industry. So those are some important examples of the reasons why we feel it's becoming more and more clear that we should be separated as a more competitive, less regulated entity with a whole different set of circumstances.
Maury. Any questions? Thank you. Any further comment? If not, we'll close the hearing on 3072. Open up the public hearing and work session on House Bill 2663 and 3162. 2663 and 3162. At this point, separate from any amendments that may be offered, is there anyone here on 3162 that would like to add anything to what we heard the other night? If you would, give you an opportunity to do so now. If not, I'd like to move on to some, what I understand are some potential amendments that are to be offered on 3162.
We have some deaf children here who have spent quite a bit of time in preparing their testimony. I wonder if we could allow these children to talk to you, please.
Fine. Yes.
Good afternoon. My name is Laura Mayhall, and I am a student at OSSD. I like to call my friends. Sometimes I call Alice. When I want my friend to come over to my house, then what I have to do is ask my mom to give them a call, and she calls their mom to see whether or not my friend can come to my house. Then they can say okay or that it's not okay. I think it would be much better to have a TDD of my own so that I will be able to call my friends myself on the TDD. I like the TDD because I like to talk with my friends.
Representative Berea. Representative Berea.
How old is she?
9.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for your testimony.
Good afternoon. My name is Alice Warstell. I am a student at OSSD, and I like my TDD because I like to call my friends sometimes. And I also like to call my grandma and grandpa. I also like to call my friends from school so that I can go over to their house and visit.
Sometimes in the summer, I call my friends from school.
Thank you. Is there anyone else from your group?
Hi. My name is Irene Jazelwick. I also go to school at OSSD, and I'm here to tell you why I like TDDs. I like TTYs because I can communicate with the deaf people on the TTY. If I didn't have a TTY, how could I communicate with deaf people? If we do not have TTYs, then we cannot use the regular telephone because we are deaf. I am here to tell you why I like TDDs. Thank you.
Chair. Representative Berea.
I'd like to ask Irene what her favorite class is. No, excuse me. Who her favorite teacher is.
Mrs. Ferrier.
Okay.
Mrs. Ferrier seems to be doing a very good job. Thank you. We had some testimony over here. testify, or she wants to testify?
March. They're asking.
Yes.
Thank you for the privilege of being able to speak to you and simply having a meeting access like we have with the community and laying a little bit and not usual for us to have that sort of thing. My name is Helen Boyd. I'm from Bloomsburg. But actually, I feel like the way my life has gone, like I'm from Stress City. Why am I here? I'm here to tell it like it is. Please be patient because God isn't finished with me yet either. My mother was deaf like me, too, and I'm legally deaf, although I hear little. Our family has 13 severely hard of hearing, you know, or deaf, whatever you want to choose to say. The only thing my sister, our children and our brothers and sisters. We have progressive nerve loss. I want you to consider the future for these children, if you will, and the young ones that are coming up in my family. My children hold jobs now. They have progressive hearing loss and telephone access. In time, they won't have, like myself. We don't want to become a burden upon the taxpayers. We're taxpayers now. It used to be that I was ashamed of my hearing impairment, but now I'm just motivated, believe it. Make changes I can to help us all. We're all here now to talk about telephone access. Communication is like food to us. It's essential to our survival. It's essential to our quality of life. In our family, it's a constant struggle to interface both with one another and or interact with one another as well as with society. And one of the chief reasons is because of lack of telephone access. More than 24,000 deaf. There are more than 24,000 deaf Oregonians and thousands of severely hearing impaired. Not to mention about 1 in 10 of the others who have some degree of hearing impairment. It's the very important issue because we're talking communication, relationship, which can affect divorce, violence, rape, everything, and people's lifestyle. In 1980, I joined Self-Help for Hard Hearing People. At that time, I was alone in my home and trying to rent rooms. I manage a rooming house in my home. I was desperate. Was a star of hope which arose at that time. I was even having thoughts of suicide because of, I couldn't even call my children or my family. I had to go to their house, their home, fine, but not, that's fine too. They used up our resources and time, money, and energy because of this. And so we can't spend that time getting employed. At that time, I was so desperate and depressed that I wanted to die before I went there because it was that bad. But that way, I regained some hope and some confidence, and it really broadened my horizons, as I said. My sister Leona and I organized a chapter of it in Roseburg. We paid our dues, we paid our taxes, we worked for 4 years as volunteers to help others as well as ourselves. The chapter went under, and one of the main reasons for that is lack of telephone access. And it is something that there is a great and grave need for, as many of these people here know, and the people that are trying to serve us. That was with great difficulty that we organized. Our resources have been melting away, particularly mine, I guess, because I wanted to help others. And I also have spent a lot for different devices to help myself. But I'm at the end of those now.
It's my home is the next thing that goes. All right, I paid $400 for a TDD. They sell for $600 normally now. There's no relay service. I'm using it here in this meeting for communication so I can tell what the rest of you are saying, and I appreciate that help. And then during that time we had this organization going, we went to see Senator Kitzhaber, and I was very gratified because I was going to ask him for a state commission, and I'll try to keep this short because I know you have to listen to other people, but I wanted you to know this. And he realized that we needed that state commission before I ever asked him, after I had spoken just a few minutes with him. We who want telephone access have paid and paid in dollars and human dignity and suffering. We feel that we have been treated as second-class citizens. We need to survive financially.